Okay, according to the New Testament record, faith can be, listen to this. This is about 10 things that faith can be. Faith can be cast off, according to 1 Timothy 5:11-12, which says, "But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation." Why? Because they have cast off their first faith. Anybody who, first of all, there is the possibility of casting off your first faith. Otherwise, this wouldn't be in the Bible. And what happens when you cast off your first faith? You have damnation. That's the word I'm reading right out of 1 Timothy 5:12. Having damnation. Why? Because they have cast off their first faith. Some erroneously believe that once you've believed, you can never go back and stop believing. That's a ridiculous error. Okay? That's against all of Scripture. In John 6:66, the Bible says there are many who once walked, many disciples who walk with Christ, and then when he preached the harder truths of the kingdom, they walked away from him and they continued walking with him no more. John 6:66. So we see, number one, that faith can be cast off, quote unquote, cast off. And the result of casting off faith is damnation. 1 Timothy 5:12. Now, here's the next one. Faith can be put away and made shipwrecked of. Listen to this. 1 Timothy 1:19. Holding faith. You got to hold on to faith. You got to continue in faith. The just shall live by faith. Not one time but live. Their lives will be full of faith. You see, friend, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you stop having faith and trust in Christ, which we all have the ability to do, as well as we all have the ability and opportunity and the blessing and the grace of God to continue to believe Christ, to continue to walk with God and to walk in the light and to live unto Him and trust Him fully. Amen? You have the choice either way. So, listen to this. 1 Timothy 1:19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Their faith is washed ashore. They're not on the ocean of salvation anymore, or the sea of salvation. They've been made shipwreck of, okay, because they didn't hold the faith. They didn't continue to walk by faith. Now, here's the third one. Faith can be denied. Revelation 2:13. Listen to the words of Jesus. "I know thy works," he tells these people who had all been saved in the past. "I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth." Okay? These tells them that there are those among them who had not denied my faith. That means faith can be denied. But he's commending them that because they have not denied my faith, he said. Okay? Again, the Scripture teaches that faith can be denied. Listen to 1 Timothy 5:8. "But if any man among the church people that are saved," he's addressing the church world, "but if any provide," not just the church world, but to those that believe, he's addressing them. "But if any provide," he's telling Timothy, "not for his own," and especially for those who of his own house, "he hath denied the faith." How can you deny something that you're hadn't previously received? Okay, "he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Again, faith can be denied. That faith can be denied. 1 Timothy 4:1 says this. That faith can be departed from. Quote, "Now the Spirit," the Holy Spirit speaketh expressly or clearly and specifically, "that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Again, faith can be departed from. Also, faith can be failed. Luke 22:32, Jesus said, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." And you see, if this were not possible, why would Jesus have prayed for this? Okay? He tells Peter, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, Peter had to be restored to the Lord, reconverted. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. If you don't believe in reconversion and that we have to be brought back to God, if we go back into sin, especially a backslidden state, James 5:19 and 20 makes it real clear. It says, brethren, if any of you, brethren, do err from the truth and one convert him or bring him back to God, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. Save a soul from eternal separation from God. That was James 5:19 and 20. Two last scriptures, the last word of the book of James. Okay, faith can be overthrown. Faith can be overthrown. Listen to this. 2 Timothy 2:18. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. See, these false teachers had come in and said, speaking of the resurrection had already passed, or the rapture, I believe that's talking about, and they overthrow the faith of some. They subverted the faith of some of those who had been saved and believing Christians. Okay, so faith can be overthrown according to 2 Timothy 2:18. Okay, according to 1 Timothy 6:10, faith can be erred from. Listen to this. Quote, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, his, some believers, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Okay, they had erred from the faith, quote unquote. 1 Timothy 6:10. You can write these down, the references, and go study them for yourself. Okay, 1 Timothy 6:21 says, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Again, faith can be erred from. And finally, concerning faith, it can be fallen away from. Listen to Luke 8:13. One can fall away from his believing or saving faith. Jesus said this, listen, they are on the rock. This is the second of the four types of soil the Word of God falls on. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. Okay? When they hear, they receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe. They believe, therefore they're saved. And in time of temptation, fall away. Now, this isn't somebody else saying they believe. This is Jesus saying these people actually believe. That means they believed unto eternal life. In another place, Jesus said, to him that believes, he has eternal life. Okay? This isn't somebody else talking. This is the Son of God. And he said they believed. Okay? And that other scripture I just quoted is John 6:47. That if you believe, you have eternal life. You presently possess it. These people, he said, for a while, believe. Okay? And in time of temptation, fall away. Of course, it makes it clear that they truly believed to salvation because they fell away. They fall away. How could they fall away if they from something they had not already believed into? That would be impossible. Okay, and that would be very ludicrous for Christ to even insinuate. Okay, now, also, according to Holy Scripture, the grace of God can be. Here's a list of about 10 things the grace of God can be. It can be received in vain, according to 2 Corinthians 6:1, which says, receive not the grace of God in vain. Okay? Now, it can be nullified, according to Galatians 2:21, that says, if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. He's talking to believers when he said that. Okay? The grace of God can be quenched, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. The grace of God can be quenched. I want you to write these down. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19. The grace of God, okay, can be quenched. Grace of God can be quenched. All right? Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19. Okay? It says this, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Okay? So that's not specifically speaking of the grace of God, but the Spirit of God and the Spirit of His grace can be quenched. Okay, the grace of God can be fallen from. According to Galatians 5:4, the Lord through Paul said that they had fallen from grace. Why? Because they found some other way to be justified outside of Christ after they had initially been saved and justified by Christ. Galatians 5:4 says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. His blood is no longer effectual to you. Whoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. They had fallen from grace. If it weren't possible to fall from grace, outside of which you cannot be saved, then why would the Bible speak of such in Galatians 5:4? Now, also the Bible speaks of failing the grace of God. The grace of God can be failed. I want to read to you Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Chapter 12, verse 15 of Hebrews says this, looking diligently, lest any man of the brethren of the Lord, that is, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So notice, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Any man among the believers, he's addressing specifically the holy brethren, Hebrews 3:1, when he speaks these words, okay? Now, the Spirit of grace, or the grace of God, can be done despite to. Listen to this in Hebrews 10, verse 29. Listen to Hebrews 10, 29. It says this, of how much sorer punishment or worse punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. We can do despite unto the Spirit of grace by going back into sin. He had just previously warned, he said in verse 26 of Hebrews 10, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Okay? Okay. The grace of God can be resisted, according to Hebrews 12:15. It can be resisted. And you'll find that when you read Hebrews 12:15. Notice, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. See, you can resist the grace of God. It's not irresistible grace, although the Calvinists and the Reformed people say it is. It's not. That's never a term used in the Bible, that's for sure, verbatim, nor is it found in the Bible in concept. Okay, you're not forced to remain in the grace of God through faith. That's how we enter into the grace of God initially, is through faith. We have access to this grace through faith. Romans 5:2, very important scripture. That's all, not only the initial condition, faith, that God honors with His grace by giving you His grace as you believe on Christ, the only Redeemer. God gives you His saving grace. But that's also an ongoing condition to continue to have that faith. You see, again, Romans 5:2, we have access to this grace. The only way you can be saved is through grace, right? Through faith, okay? The grace of God can be abandoned by the believer, according to Galatians 5:4. They abandoned the grace of God for the law. And then he said they'd fallen from grace. Now, on the more positive note, grace can be multiplied. Grace can be multiplied. According to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to focus on not falling away so much as, although that's a definite reality that we must be aware of on a constant basis and keep ourselves before the Lord. But also, the blessed grace of God can be multiplied into our life. The blessed divine influence and divine enablement, the divine and operational power of God in our lives can be multiplied. And the Bible speaks about, in 1 Peter 1, I believe it is, or 4, the manifold grace of God. It's many faceted. The manifold or many faceted grace of God. It's incredible. A study on the grace of God is so, so enriching. We have some articles on the articles page at safeguardyoursoul.com if you wish to do some study on the grace of God. And I'll tell you what, you will be very, very encouraged, okay? The grace of God can be multiplied in our lives, and it starts with praying and abiding in Christ to have ever deepening relationship or knowledge of Him. Let me read that again. 2 Peter 1:2 says, "Grace and peace be not added, but multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord." Okay? And of Jesus our Lord. Excuse me. Okay. Also, the grace of God can be grown in. This letter of Peter to 2 Peter begins and ends with the grace of God. First being multiplied in our lives and now growing in our lives. We can grow in the grace of God. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Notice, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Notice, He always speaks of the knowledge of Jesus Christ when He speaks of growing in the grace of God and being multiplied, the grace of God being multiplied in our lives. 2 Peter 1:2 and 2 Peter 3:18. I'm also going to mention before we close this segment that it was the grace of God that labored in Paul. He said that he labored more than all the other apostles. Yet not him, but the grace of God that labored in him. What a beautiful thing, friend, to know that we're not alone. We're not even slightly alone. We didn't find God, He found us. And that His grace labors in us to bring Him glory and to cause us to be put to death, to deny ourselves, to take up a cross and follow Him, so that He might increase and we might decrease. God bless each of us to take root downward and bear fruit upward. Isaiah 37:31, to take root downward, to be anointed by His grace and His Spirit, to take root downward, that He might raise us up in His resurrection power, to bear fruit to His glory upward, in Jesus' holy name.